Welcome to Faith Works Live. Call 515-727-5842 and join the conversation. Now, here's your host, Rebecca Haney.
It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. It's the day the Lord has made, you know, like yesterday, and God willing, like tomorrow will be. And He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I love how that works. Hopefully, after yesterday, we had, I think, a fun and hope-affirming conversation. You know, sometimes I feel like I'm just a little bit low in the hope tank, to be quite honest. I like to be plugged in. I like to know what's going on. I like to stay on top of, you know, everything at the Haney Hacienda. You know, we got a lot of irons in the fire, shall we say. But that can mean there's a lot of distractions taking us away and at worst, weighing us down and keeping our eyes, maybe removing our eyes from being fixed where they should be on things above, on our future. And when our future is, or when our focus is not on our future, we get a little weighed down by the here and now. So I loved being able to talk with Pastor Dan Hudson and hearing his testimony yesterday of some of the faithfulness of God in his life. I mean, that just did my heart a world of good. So if you missed that one, check it out on our podcast. Our video stream is always up on our Facebook page at Faith Works Live, which incidentally, if you're new around here, that's the name of the show. And that's what we believe, that faith works. My name is Rebecca Haney, and it's just a joy to be with you. We get to open up the microphone and talk. We keep rocking in the free world and talking about the goodness of God and the hope in Jesus Christ. So that's what I like to do. That's what we're about here on the show. And you can always be a part of the show. I promise. We'll roll out the red carpet for you. The number is 515-727-5842, 515-727-5842. And as I mentioned, if you connect with us on our live stream, and that's the best way to watch and connect with us there, then you can let us know your thoughts, your musings, your questions, concerns, complaints, and commendations on Facebook at our Faith Works Live page. Now, onto the show. I always love talking with friends. Surprisingly, I have a few who still answer my calls. And I love just getting the chance to surprise and fellowship. And one guy that I always learn from and just always makes me laugh and think is Chris Roloff. Hi, Chris. How are you?
Well, hi, Rebecca. How are you?
It's good over here.
Yeah.
It's sunshiny in the studio.
On that side of the world.
On this side.
Yeah.
I opened up with a Mr. Rogers reference.
You
so
did.
I feel like I have to live up to that.
You did. I was actually just talking with a friend about neighborhoods, personality neighborhoods, earlier
Ooh.
Today. So I'm curious if we're in different personality neighborhoods. But
what does that even mean? I must be out of the loop, as I am on so many things.
So as we're affirming life issues today.
Yes.
The personality neighborhoods are much like a disc profile or like the quadrants, like people who are driven, people who are more relational, people who are more analytical,
sure.
people who are more social, that kind of stuff. And so those are just sort of the
Is it all related to the Enneagram? Because I know
there are nine of those.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
This is only four.
I don't know if there's anything to any of them. I just know you have to pay to take the test. And so I wasn't about that.
I will evaluate you for free.
Oh, good. This
First,
will be fun
could,
and possibly embarrassing.
If you could just lay back and I'll ask you a few questions.
Sure. Is one of them, what was your childhood like and how does it make you feel? Yeah.
Right. When was the last time you spoke to your father? No, okay, so all right, anyway, I didn't.
You are mistaken about a great many things.
It was 1992, a dark and stormy night. So what's a personality neighborhood, though? Just like defining different people's personalities?
Yes.
In relationship to yours?
In those major quadrants, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
So it's useful in interacting with folks in sales capacity and leadership capacity, a wide variety of things. So if you know that the person is an analytical person, you're going to relate. People like hanging out with people who are like them. That's
okay.
kind of the issue. I was sitting here, a mic went live, and I was thought, we're going to talk about life issues, so I better do something. So I put the Google on, Rebecca.
Ooh, you Googled.
I Googled.
I'm privileged and honored that you Googled on our behalf.
I just Googled the pro-life.
Mm.
And I flabbered to the gasket. I was flabbergasted.
Never say so. What did you find?
On a website called Fox43.com, this must be a Fox News affiliate in Pennsylvania. According to this news article, Pennsylvania had its very first March for Life rally.
Oh.
I had to check the date on this. This was published September 27th, 2021. Pennsylvania had their first March for Life rally. This seems like, hello, we're late in the game. I feel like a March for Life rally has been done before.
Well, maybe not on that state level. I mean, maybe it was a local thing. Maybe they had others. I should check because I know pro-lifers in Pennsylvania.
That's really fascinating. If you're a pro-lifer in Pennsylvania, what number could they call if they wanted to explain themselves?
That would be 515-727-5842. That's really curious because Pennsylvania, I know there's a lot of, you know, people who would consider themselves to be pretty dyed-in-the-wool pro-lifers in that area. So, yeah, that is curious.
That's what the first line of the article says. In Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, on Monday, thousands packed the Harrisburg streets at the state's first March for Life rally. That is surprising to me. I mean, here it is, 2021.
Well,
maybe they've been emboldened. Maybe they've been emboldened for some reason. Maybe something happened that emboldened the pro-life movement. I don't know.
Well, I've been saying that now for the last several weeks, that it does feel like there's a momentum. There's a momentum. And not to say that people haven't been working diligently and fervently and, you know, without claiming the recognition that I'm sure they'll get someday, that they've been working behind the scenes for decades now to lay the groundwork. And that's always the case with any social movement worth its salt. You have people that are the prayer warriors. You have the people that are silent, but God sees and rewards their work. And that's one of the things that I really like about some of the events that are going on right now, like 40 Days for Life. You have people that, you know, you're probably never going to know their names, but they're standing every single day just on a sidewalk and praying for the people that are going into the abortion clinics, that are driving by, that are working at those clinics, that their hearts will change, that their eyes will be opened, and that we will all recognize the value of each and every human being. And, you know, I don't know all their names, but I'm so grateful that they're there.
Yeah.
And so that's an easy way, I think, for people to get involved. And just by being there and being present and being a part of it and lifting that up to the one true King, right? To bring that before the throne room and say, Lord, hear the heart of your people. Hear the heart of your people and answer from heaven. We humbly repent for where we are. We acknowledge this evil before you and open our eyes and open our hearts to see people the way that you see them and as the image of God in them. Help us protect innocent life. Help justice and mercy to be done in our land. Yeah, words to that effect.
Yes, that is a fantastic prayer. I don't know how many people. Don't close your eyes if you're driving. I find that's dangerous, but you can pray while with your eyes open. It's okay.
That is frowned upon.
Yeah. It's just dangerous. It's just dangerous.
Well, you know, sometimes you live dangerously, but not closing your eyes behind the car dangerously. Right, Tim?
Hey, guys.
Tim Overland's in the house.
Look, a new human has appeared.
You owe me an apology. You know,
closing your eyes while... to pray while driving just makes me think of Carrie Underwood.
Oh, boy.
Is that right?
Jesus, take the wheel.
I see Cletus take the reel is what I think of, and that's the Tim Hawkins song, which is fantastic. He's cutting it up. He's still doing the jokes.
He is, yeah.
I don't know who that is, but
he's one
you
of
don't
the,
know who the Tim Hawkins is?
One of the top Christian comedians of all time, probably.
I'll have to
check him out. So, Tim, here's the thing. I'm very disappointed.
Chris, I've missed you.
I thought so much highly, so much higher of you than that. I thought you would have clearly known who.
Brad Stein's like my go-to Christian.
Yeah, he's there, but funny. He's like Brad Stein, except funny.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
What's his name again?
Tim Hawkins.
I'll have to check.
Yeah, he's a guy. He usually has a guitar. So he's usually got a guitar, right. And he's done a lot of like parody songs.
He's
and
done
that's
parody
one
songs?
Of his shticks.
I'll have to check him out. So you guys were talking about Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
And...
What do you know about Pennsylvania, Tim?
A snarky comment was percolating while you guys were talking.
Oh, dear.
One would think that folks would be motivated to march after the Kermit Gosnell issue. But, you know,
maybe
it takes 10 years for some people to really get mad, I guess.
That's right. That was a problem.
Well,
and I was saying folks like, you know, Senator Rick Santorum, for example, has been a pretty influential force in some.
But then you had Governor Ridge, who, you know...
Not that we're besties or anything,
right.
But just, I know him.
Yeah, I think I have a picture with him at the machine shed. But anyway,
get in line, Sam.
Yeah, right. I didn't see the pizza ranch, but no. But Tom Ridge was the governor at the time, who also a Republican, who helped keep Gosnell, whether directly or indirectly, in business. So anyway, I'll stop picking on Pennsylvania. I don't want to alienate that.
No,
so it makes of our sense listeners. Then, Tim, what you're saying is it makes sense that they're finally having something like a March for Life rally.
Better late than never, I guess.
Yeah.
It's shocking.
That's all. Yeah, that is pretty shocking that it's
first
just now.
Ever. That is right. How they're billing it. The first ever Pennsylvania March for Life. And maybe it's like the first ever statewide at the state capitol, big, giant. They're saying thousands and thousands of people were there. So that's objectively a good thing.
That is a good thing.
Yeah.
I told you it was snarky. I'm sorry.
That's allowed in small doses. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
We'll put it on your card. This is your snark allowance for today.
Uh oh. I'm going to go now, guys.
It's good to see you. That's not.
I can't make any promises.
Lay me off, Tom. All right. Oh, by the way, Ron Carlson is our wonderful producer, and we couldn't be on the air without him. Hi, Ron.
How's it going, eh?
It's pretty good. I know that was unceremonious and just kind of thrown in there, but again, better late than never seems to be the theme.
The thing about Ron is he has such a diverse voice. It's
yes.
as though he can sound like anything, really.
That's good for me, eh?
It's magical.
He's a man for all seasons.
Yes, he is a man for all seasons.
Well, today, as we mentioned, today's Life Tuesday. We talk about issues of life and ways that we can promote, defend, and protect life in our state. I know if you're listening to this show and you have for any length of time, you know how deeply we care about this and how I think firmly and fervently we need to be not only praying, but also stepping up, bearing witness, and standing for life as with one voice. I think all of God's people should be able to say, here's right and here is wrong. And the Lord is the author and the creator of life. He loves life, and so do we as a result. And anything that seeks to steal, kill, and destroy doesn't come from God. It comes from the enemy, from the complete opposite nation. All right? And so standing out firmly in that way, when we are united, when the church is united, the whole world shakes. Right? The whole world changes. We are the people, historically, the people that have turned the world upside down. God is still the same God, and he still empowers us with the same power that rose Jesus from the dead. He has already conquered death, and that empowers us. You know, weak and human and feeble and fallen as though we are, that power is in us. And therefore, what can we fear? Right? That was all yesterday. What can we fear? You know, there's nothing left to fear. At the same time, we can stand up for life. That means we're standing against the powers of death and rescuing people being led away to slaughter. That's kind of the game plan. Like, that's the job description. It's not easy, but we have an almighty God on our side. There you go. That's what the show's going to be about today on Faith Works Live.
Welcome to Faith Works Live. Call 515-727-5842 and join the conversation. Now, here's your host, Rebecca Haney.
Oh, it's a good day. It's a good day. And that's a conscious choice to make it a good day. Not that, you know, like we said, if it's the day the Lord has made, it is a good day. But sometimes you just need to remind yourself of that and say, I'm going to live as if today is a good day because it is. And therefore, that's what it shall be. Now, I know that you have heard us talk about the folks at Agape and the services that they provide. And today is going to be a night to celebrate that. If you have your tickets, their banquet is tonight. So that's going to be a fun, fun event. But there are lots of ways that you can get involved. As I mentioned, prayer warriors, well appreciated. But there are other ways and practical ways that you can get involved. So if you go to agapedsm.com, they have a little tab that is just that, get involved. And if they have openings on their staff, for example, and you have medical training, that's something that might work out with your background and your heart, then you can connect with them there. If you look at their wish list and find the materials that they might need, we've talked about their height. We've done the hygiene drive in the past, as well as, you know, any sort of pantry items or their baby boutique items. Right now, size 4 diapers are an urgent need for them. So these are helping families that they know and have developed a relationship with. So again, it's not just a one-time choice for life and then everything, you know, ends happily ever after. No, they develop relationships and walk alongside women, their children, their families. And right now they need size 4 diapers. So that might be one way that you could really practically help bless some families in need right here in our community through Agape. So you can connect with them and check out their Get Involved tab, as well as some of the great stories that we've had Leanna share. And you can see some of the pictures and get to meet long distance, meet some of the lives that have been changed through Agape Pregnancy Resource Center. Well worth supporting. Check out agapedsm.com. Here on Life Tuesday, it's just a natural fit to talk about the people who are making a difference for life in our fine community, in our state. And Tim, I'm excited. I'm excited to see what the state of Iowa does when it comes to life. I think there is momentum that's building. I'm seeing a lot of people, for example, down on my neighborhood on the south side, I've seen people every day praying outside of the big Planned Parenthood clinic out there. And again, it doesn't have to. Some people carry signs. Some people don't. It's whatever you're comfortable with. But you're physically bearing witness mm-hmm. out there to the importance of life. And you're praying before the God Most High that our heart would emulate his heart and that his will would be done and that the murder of innocents would stop and that people's hearts and their eyes would be open, their hearts would be changed. And to me, I think anyone that follows Jesus Christ could take that step. Mm-hmm. It may not be easy for everyone, especially if it's your first time, but it's not a situation, I think, of aggression or people aren't angry when they're out there or anything like that. It's not meant to be a combative situation. It's truly just meant to say, I care about this.
Yeah, and you're, you know, at that location, you're so far away from the building. I mean,
right, you're on the sidewalk, so you're not directly, you're not blocking the building or anything like that.
Yeah, and there's other businesses in that strip mall.
You're in the public space, and you can hold signs if you want to, and that's perfectly fine. But it's, you know, different people have different styles.
And the only reason I say that is because I think if people may be nervous about doing something like that because they've seen, you know, the stereotypical, you
like
know,
protest
shouting,
footage,
protesting, or, you know, if you saw Unplanned, you know, those people, that Planned Parenthood was in its own setting, and the people that could line up along the driveway, basically, and, you know, you were faced by that. Now, people pull into that parking lot, if people are out praying on the parking, they're going to see them, you know, and hopefully they'll make that connection. But by the time they get up to the door of Planned Parenthood there, I mean, you're nowhere near, you know, you're not near them. I mean,
so it's not confrontational by
not
design.
No, yeah.
There will be people that honk and express their feelings one way or the
other. Usually wave with
along the
most
radio
of their fingers.
Or along the road there. Yeah,
yeah. They're mostly all fingers when they
you
wave.
You get all kinds. That's what I'm saying.
But yeah, so you're probably going to make more of an impact on the people driving by. Hopefully, obviously, the prayer is that, you know, if people, I know that one of the common signs is, you know, we know people, we will adopt your baby or things like that. So maybe, or we will support you. So hopefully when those folks are pulling into the parking lot, they see those signs and they don't just immediately, you know, put the blinders on and say, oh, these are hateful, you know.
I like creativity. Creativity and signs is good.
Yeah,
I appreciate that. It tends to, you know, catch people's attention. And especially when you see women, young women holding up signs that talk about why they are pro-life. Because so many people believe the lie that in order to be pro-woman, you have to be pro-abortion. That it's a woman's right. That somehow this reproductive justice, which is actually what progressive Christians tend to use, that same phraseology, which, you know, they need to take that one up with the maker. But it's a lie that has been spread long enough and told enough times that we have to basically combat it and deprogram. But so many women have believed it. And so many women sadly have acted on it. And they've said that, okay, in order to have my freedom or my dreams or the future that I believed in or I wanted to have, if I get pregnant, then I just have to sacrifice my child. I have to sacrifice my child in order to fulfill my dreams.
Well, it's this binary choice, you know.
It's a false choice.
Yeah, we've heard that term a lot over the last two election cycles. It's this binary choice that there's only one or two choices, and that's nonsense. I mean, there's a very definitive choice of death, and then there's a myriad of choices mm-hmm. that are different from that equal life. And, you know, like I just hinted at, whether you raise your child or whether you place your child for adoption or whatever. I mean, there's so many different choices there. And I mean, I think it's actually an insult to women that have had children and have had, you know, successful careers or are successful at their home.
Right.
You know, I mean, that's not to diminish what, you know, as somebody that's a stay-at-home mom. I mean, it's there's a lot to that. You know, obviously we could have whole episode shows of that.
We should. So, that's a good idea. Yeah. But, I like it. So, I mean, someone like an Amy Coney Barrett, for example.
Right.
Mom of seven.
Yeah.
You know, and a very, very accomplished, now sits upon the Supreme Court, disagree or disagree with her politics. That's impressive.
Yeah.
It is impressive. And it is a lie. And it is demeaning to women, as you were just saying, to say that, well, women can't be a mom and can't, you know, finish her college degree.
Well,
she can't be a mom and be a, you know, professional artist, musician, athlete, whatever.
Well, and she fights back on, too, because I believe they've adopted some kids. So
Yes. They
say, well, have you adopted a kid? Well, yes.
Actually, and, now that you mention it.
Yes. So, again, and we don't need to fight those, you know, those silly barbs all the time. But, you know, it just points out that this stereotype of us mm-hmm. is nonsense. You know, and it's there's so many exceptions to, well, you just care about the baby till they're born. Mm-hmm. You don't adopt. You can't be successful, you know, on and on and on. It's just nonsense.
And if you stop and think about the logical conclusions and the outworkings of those arguments, you realize, you know what, I don't know that that holds a lot of weight. What it comes down to is to say, I want to be able to do whatever I want to. This child is going to get in the way of that vision. It's going to disrupt that vision. And so my vision is worth more than my child. When it comes right down to it, the only reason that we're not able, I think, to put all those pieces together clearly is because we've dehumanized the child before they're born. But if you say something like my son or my daughter, for example, you can't be pro woman's rights and then say, yeah, but you can kill women before they're born. You just can't. And it wouldn't be right to kill the little boys. We need to protect all people. But I'm just saying, if you think about it and you're for women's rights, then don't you believe in a woman's right to be born? Don't we have to start there? We'll talk a little bit about why this has come into the spotlight, the level of deception that we're seeing at a very high level, and what we can do about it next.
Welcome to Faith Works Live. Call 515-727-5842 and join the conversation. Now, here's your host, Rebecca Haney.
Talking about my generation, right? We are ready and poised to make a difference for life. We're ready to protect life in our state. There's lots of ways that we can do that. There are some legal routes and protections that I think every single Iowan deserves to have. We're working on that. And there are, like we've been talking about, other ways for you to get involved. The Life Chain activity, for example, is Sunday. There's 40 days for life, so you can kind of work that into your schedule. But if you want to pick one specific time that the followers of Jesus Christ are going to be out in force, Life Chain coming up this coming Sunday might be it. It's this Sunday afternoon, and I know we've got a large one going on Merle Hay Road and also along Army Post Road. So there's a couple of different events, but you can pick the one that works for you on this Sunday afternoon. Life Chain, again, just a way to show up, be present, be a witness for the value for life. You can bring signs that affirm life and that make people hopefully think about the value of life, and praying to end abortion.
And it's going to be 73 degrees.
It's gorgeous.
I mean, there's a slight chance of rain, but
it'll be fine.
Yeah. 73 on the October 3rd, that's pretty good.
That is good. So our friends at Iowans for Life are facilitating so many great events like this and opportunities to stand for life. You can also be aware of what's going on there by signing up for their newsletter, too. So iowansforlife.org, I highly recommend that you sign up and get involved. And you can register for the March for Life there that's coming up. They're planning to take a big old crew from the fine state of Iowa out to D.C.
I heard you were going to chaperone, maybe?
Am I? Maybe.
I don't know. I tried to get you volunteered.
Did you volunteer me?
when Maggie was here, yes. It's like I've done my duty.
Of course I went once.
And
oh, okay. So it's my turn.
You should make a package deal and get Pastor Mike to also.
Oh, fun.
He would be a great chaperone.
I'm sure he would.
Him and Gus.
Are you serious? He'd be the one in the back that's blowing the spit wads and singing the camp songs nonstop
right.
at 2 a.m.
Right.
That's Mike.
Right.
I'd be the one that have to tell him to quiet down. Oh, what a world, man. Although I do love D.C. There's so much history and there's so many cool things to see, politics notwithstanding. Yeah, so if you want to sign up for fun stuff like that, you can go to iowansforlife.org. iowansforlife.org. This is Life Tuesday. The voices that you're hearing back and forth talking at you, Rebecca and Tim Overland from Personhood, Iowa. And Tim.
Wait, you said something during that live read. I have a question. So are you officially Gen X?
No.
Are you just...
I'm a millennial.
You're a millennial.
I'm an elder millennial.
I think the millennial... So I just heard a comedian talk about how we need kind of a flood. We need about 3 months of the internet just going away.
Ooh, like that.
He's like, you know, the old people be fine, younger people be okay. He said, I think he said the millennials, I'm not sure they'd make it. He said, the good news is instead of, they wouldn't be able to kill themselves because they couldn't Google how to kill myself.
Oh, that's sad. I don't know if you've seen, there's a new movie out, and I'm not going to remember the name now. I think it's like Mitchells versus the World or something like that. But it's about a family who, you know, there's kind of this technological apocalypse, right?
Oh, the animated one.
The smartphones.
It was actually pretty good. I watched
The smartphones gain sentience, and so they decide that they're going to, you know, like every single robot movie ever.
Right.
Like, we've learned nothing from The Terminator. Sarah Connor.
Siri takes over.
Yes. And decides to kill all humans.
Yes.
Like, that's gonna, you know, get her revenge. So they said something like, oh, I just shut the evil phone says she shut down the Wi-Fi all across the world and that chaos will reign. And the humans are like, seriously, we can do without Wi-Fi. And the next scene is
like one family
entire
left.
World is erupting in flames.
It's really a good movie. And I don't have
sacrificing
kids.
Their shirts to the great Wi-Fi to try to bring it back. It's weird. It's kind of funny though. The kids liked it.
Did you watch it?
Yeah, we did.
It
was funny. But I grew up without internet largely. We did have a computer, but it was like the machine for Oregon Trail at the end of our school day.
Yeah.
That's
Apple
what I had.
The old Apple IIe.
Yeah, it was a good times. Good times. So although I do rely pretty heavily on my Google navigation, Google Maps. So I don't even think about where I'm going to go. If someone gives me the address, I'm like, yeah, I can find it. There's this sense of false confidence.
Right. Oh, yeah.
And every once in a while, Google will steer me wrong or I don't have coverage or something. And then I'm well and truly lost. And then I wish I had been a Boy Scout. But yeah, so
you
that'd
be
a
now.
Good debate. That'd be a good I could be a Boy Scout. That's right. I identify as a 12-year-old boy. Where were we? We were going somewhere with all this.
I think we were going
to
the story I sent you about that you spent the last segment building up.
I need navigation.
Yes.
I need my navigation to direct me back. Thank you for those coordinates, Tim.
Stay on target.
Yes, I need that. I need your prayers. I need your help. All right. So we believed a lot of lies in our society, just in general. And as a result, I think we perpetuate them because it justifies the decisions and the actions that we've made. Right. And so on the subject of abortion, for example, we believe the lie that this is about women's rights. It's empowering to women. It's not because it actively denigrates women. It actively harms our bodies. It can harm our reproductivity for sure. It damages us psychologically as well as physically. And it kills, you know, the women that are involved as babies in the abortion. Right.
So it
only creates victims.
And let's take a step two before we delve into what we're going to talk about. If you've seen the Roe v. Wade movie that we interviewed Nick Loeb about on here, if you've seen that, if you know the history of this stuff, there were people like Margaret Sanger involved and I think, you know, Gloria Steinem and people like that involved.
Later on,
But there were a lot of guys that were involved. And if you think cynically about... You know, you were talking about people that, I got to give up my baby to further my career. You know, was it Wendy Williams or somebody a couple of years ago? Michelle Williams.
Mm-hmm. Michelle Williams, when she accepted her Oscar.
Yeah, look, this is why I had my abortion or something like that. And it was like...
Essentially.
So basically, the only reason she bought into that was because you had mostly men behind the scenes saying, well, if you want to be successful, probably shouldn't have that kid right now.
Yeah, we should trust the Weinsteins of the world to tell us what's going to be successful for women.
The casting couch stereotype and that type of, you know, you've talked about the bro choicers. We've heard about those guys. These are guys that this just allows them to continue being creeps because we don't honor the women in our lives. And we say, here, let me help you take care of that. And I can keep doing whatever I want to do. And so, you know, this for whatever reason, like you keep saying, is this has been presented as a good thing for women. And this is women's health care. When you really dig into the ugly, yucky kind of deep reasons behind the reasons people get abortions, you know, whether it's one of the few, you know, one of the rare exceptions where we talk about, you know, a rape, child rape inside of families, rape, covering up crimes, you know, Planned Parenthood being caught on tape helping pimps and sex traffickers.
You mentioned Kermit Gosnell. I mean, a name that will go down, that ought to go down in infamy, where people knew what he was doing,
right,
but didn't say anything for years.
And so these are men and a culture that somehow, I'm not sure how all of a sudden this became a good thing for women, but again, the reason that these things happen most of the time are for selfish reasons, and it's either a man not standing up and being a man, or a man, you know, pushing that the narrative that, hey, you probably can't do it. You know, you're probably not going to be able to do what you want to do if you have this child.
Yeah, that you're going to lose out maybe on your spot to try out for the dream team, for example, lose your scholarship, lose, you know, your chance at an acting career, or all of those things. You won't be able to compete effectively. None of those things have to be true, but it is kind of laying the groundwork for this discussion. So the news story that we're talking around, that we'll now talk about, is that there were an awful lot of very famous women, professional athletes in particular, who have now signed on to support I'll say it this way. They've filed a brief, an amicus brief, asking the Supreme Court to reject the Mississippi law that we've talked about in the past, which is banning abortion after 15 weeks. So they specifically, I think there were about 500 signatories.
It may be one name you would really know. You talk about being famous, and there's probably some names on there that you would recognize if you watch the Olympics and some of that stuff. But
a lot of these are college athletes. There were a handful of Olympians and former Olympians.
Chrissy Perham, I don't know who that is, but apparently she's a gold medalist. Swimmer from 1992.
Well, and Megan Rapinoe, or Rapinoe, I'm not really sure.
Skin in the game.
I don't know if she has children. I don't think she does or intends to. But she is, you know, heading this up, and so she's kind of a big name right now. She's famous for speaking out on a lot of liberal causes.
Selling Subway.
And kicking sandwiches out of people's hands. That's weird.
Tacos.
But she's more famous now for her political statements than for anything she's done on the soccer field, I'm sure. But she's one of the names. About 500 female athletes are signing on to this statement, basically supporting abortion and standing against the Mississippi law that seeks to limit abortion. And the reason that they're doing that is because they've said, here's the quote that just caught me, that they have a short window to achieve their greatest potential, and not allowing women to have abortions could negatively impact their careers and their economic futures. Let's talk about that.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that when we return, and maybe do a little fact check when we return.
Welcome to Faith Works Live. Call 515-727-5842 and join the conversation. Now, here's your host, Rebecca Haney.
I just think it's awesome you have people now.
I specialize in references nobody else understands. I'm such a hit at parties.
I like a musical or something you were singing.
I like musicals, and I'm proud of it, but nobody knows what they're
like. On it. What musical were you singing?
Oh, well, that one.
You have to remember the title now, Rebecca, or it's not a good reference.
I mentioned was actually not from a musical, but we were doing it in a musical form. It's a song that Jerry Lewis did in his takeoff of Cinderella.
Oh.
It's a comedy from the 60s, and he called it Cinderfella. because he was, but it was like a slapstick.
So far ahead of his
time. Probably not well done.
Wow.
But he wasn't, he was a guy the whole time.
He wasn't pretending.
No. So he, you know, meets this princess unbeknownst to her, and he's kind of like the clown jester that sweeps her off her feet. Anyway, it's silly.
Your people are pulling us off track.
He has a song called Let Me Be a People. Because he doesn't want to be a VIP. He doesn't want to be treated any differently. No. He's like, I'm a common, you know, just average, ordinary guy. And it's called Let Me Be Your People. It doesn't matter. Because this won't make sense.
You guys have no idea what you're talking about because we're talking about it off the air.
These are inside jokes.
You're going to have to enjoy the Insider Club.
This is We could make an Insider Club for you and me.
You'd like to think that, wouldn't you?
And your mom would sign up.
Not sure. Yeah. And probably like one other person? Yeah. I don't know.
Pastor Mike.
Okay. We can do that. We'll do that. We'll take it under advisement.
There you go.
I'll let my people call your people. You're listening Amid the Silliness to Life Tuesday on FaithWorks Live. And if you want to be, I guess, an insider VIP, whatever we're going to call very important people, it's 515-727-5842. Get connected with us. And we're also live on Facebook right now. Because we haven't been canceled lately on FaithWorks Live on Facebook. So chat it up there. We love to hear your comments. All right. So news story we were talking about, which, you know, I don't feel like joking too much about. But you got to have fun as you discuss the downfall of Western civilization. The Mississippi law that has, I guess, engendered this case. It's coming before the Supreme Court and everyone's saying it's now on their docket. Right. Yes. Is it December 1st?
Something like that. Yeah.
I think they've set to hear it on December 1st. And we've talked about it, analyzed it over the summer. And it is a ban on abortions after 15 weeks, mostly. So this is the law that everyone has poised to say this could be the challenge to Roe that everyone's been waiting for. So that means that an awful lot of people are set to campaign against it. The hue and cry has been great and wide.
There's been lots of money raised on both sides. Let's
many millions of dollars. And unfortunately, I say there have been a good many women of note and accomplishment that seem to credit those accomplishments to abortion. And many professional athletes who, of course, are working very hard with their bodies, right? And they're young. A vast majority of people who are entering into, like, especially at the Olympic level, have been training, you know, since basically the time that they could walk or the time that they could run or swim or whatever that might be.
And their parents could push them into something.
That too. to unleash their athletic potential, yeah. Right? And so if they're in college, you know, this is their dream, this is their hope, this is their life, and then they're doing the things that college students might engage in that might reasonably lead to
a child. Weird.
And lo and behold, pregnancy occurs. Yeah. And they have been sold a lie, maybe by their coaches, which we know
probably.
Now, as we've seen once again, the many disgusting crimes of Larry Nassar and all the people that were involved with it. It wasn't just him, but it was an entire infrastructure around him and possibly even, we're not sure, but possibly even, you know, federal cover-up.
The US Olympic Committee.
We'll see. We'll see all of that, you know, is continued to be
investigated. I don't need any lawyers.
Right. We don't know, but it's being investigated. Right. So lots and lots of people, again, knew about one man specifically preying on, abusing, raping young female athletes in his care. And nobody did anything about it to protect these women. But, you know, this is not, he's not alone in that many, many people have been in that crisis position and they have recommended and sometimes even coerced and forced in a sense, women to abort their child and say, this is the only way. This is the only choice that you have.
And let's talk about something you just said. You said that they were participating in an activity that might lead to the creation of another person.
Right.
So look, you know, Megan Rapinoe.
Like, we know what causes this.
All these people that are, these 500 women, I think they're all women, that signed this amicus
That's
brief.
That's what they say.
We're not talking about the ones they like to beat us over the head with. We're not talking about, nowhere in this brief do they mention rape and incest and all the things they like to beat us up with.
Mm-hmm.
They are telling you exactly what we know, that nearly 60 million babies have been killed in this country since 1973 for nothing more than convenience.
Right.
Sacrificing our children on the altar of me, myself, and I, as Dr. Lawrence White said when he was here for us several years ago for personhood, we've exchanged the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit to for me, myself, and I. And that's what they're admitting it. You know, Michelle Williams, Megan Rapinoe, Chrissy, what's her name? All these people are now saying exactly what we've been saying.
Well, interestingly enough, it wasn't in this particular article, but Uma Thurman had done recently, I think in the last month or so, had spoken out in relation to the Texas law. And she was supporting the quote-unquote women's right to choose, right? She's supporting abortion, but she details one of her own abortions. She details the trauma that it brought forth in her life and the years where she kind of stuffed it down and the impact that it had on her, the depression that she went through over it, the heart-wrenching regrets that she talks about. I believe that's a direct quote. And yet she now says, well, every woman should have this ability, should have this choice for heart-wrenching regret.
Yeah.
For trauma and depression, women should have... that's not giving women her best life now.
Why don't we talk about women like Toni Braxton, who has been open about, you know, she feels like that... I think she's had a child after an abortion who is maybe has autism or something. I can't remember. I'm probably going to butcher this story. But she feels like sometimes that God's punishing her for having
I'm so
an abortion.
Sorry.
And you know, there's, you can, it's doesn't take long to get Google out and find lists of famous women that have, that regret this.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that they're maybe not like Uma Thurman and saying they're still pro-choice. Hey, I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't have my daughter do it, but you should still have the choice, all that tired stuff. But why don't we talk about those stories?
I don't think we know any other way to think about it. Again, there's this kind of cognitive dissonance that happens that says there's a lot of pain that this caused me. But at the same time, I'm told that this is a good thing.
Right.
And in order to justify this and saying, well, I did it. And therefore, you know, it has to be doable because I've done it. It has to be okay because I've done it.
Instead of saying we can't
wrap our minds around it.
Instead of saying as the older generation or like we say to our kids, you know, when they say, well, didn't you do this? Well, yeah, I'm trying to save you that pain.
Yeah.
You know, obviously you can't keep your kids or keep the younger generation from doing stupid things. We all do it. We're fallen. We're flawed. But there are certain things that, you know, we can, with all of our power, try to prevent having somebody go through. I've said since I've started doing this way back, you know, when you and I got this going, was I don't want anybody else to go through what Jazz went through.
Right.
I don't want my daughter to go through that. I don't want anybody else to go through what it took her. She's still dealing with 30 plus years to deal with. And I know too many other women and guys that, you know, that are missed, that they have that hole that they're still trying to fix and heal that scar. This isn't about control or any of that nonsense. And why in the world would I tell my daughter or anybody else that they can't be an athlete or be a judge or be a whatever if they have their child? Are you kidding me? I mean, I
would say many women get motivated by their children to be the best that they can be. But not only that, to be a successful mom is perhaps the noblest of callings, right?
Yeah.
We would all say that with our mouths. We say that. We celebrate that. Even single moms, we say, oh, you're doing the work of both mom and dad. Right. You know, congratulations, all the moms. We love the moms. Buy our stuff for Mother's Day. Right. Like, yay, mom, go mom. But now we have to say also birthing people. Also, you're not that special.
People with vaginas.
Also,
excuse me.
Also, it's not really so great because if you have a kid, then you have to sacrifice all the rest of your dreams. And so that's not worthy. So don't have a kid. It's such a confused mess. Isn't it better to understand what we know to be true? That is, life is awesome. Life is hard. It's not an easy thing to enter into. It's just, right. I mean, and every other person that has sinned ever after that, right? Adam and Eve, right?
Well, it's his fault to sin.
If it wasn't him, it would have been somebody.
Well,
but I would say...
I guess I would have messed up the whole Redeemer plan, I think. Darn it.
If it were up to me. Now, just the thought that this makes me upset when we start talking about these little babies as though they're worthless, as though they're getting in the way of somebody. They're the dream killer and they have to be sacrificed and thrown out of the way. But this, I hope, engenders some sort of, I guess, just breaks my heart to hear when they say all of these women have, quote, exercised, relied on the availability of, or support the right to abortion to meet the demands of their sport and unleash their potential. These women need prayer. These women need prayer for their healing, that their eyes and their hearts will be open to the truth.